Grace and peace to you in the name of Christ, our Redeemer, who has been victorious over death. Amen. Our text tells us that Mary Magdalene was the first to reach the tomb on that Easter morning. And to her dismay, the heavy stone had been rolled away that had sealed off the tomb. And she immediately concluded that the enemies of Jesus had stolen the body. And yet Mary could not bring herself to look into the tomb to verify her assumptions. For with or without the body of Jesus inside, the tomb still represented death and despair to Mary. And like many of us, Mary was just not ready to face death alone. And so Mary runs to tell the disciples, and she finds Peter and John, who in turn run back with her to the tomb. And it was only after they had gone inside and examined the tomb that Mary is now ready to see for herself. And after they leave, we are told that Mary stood weeping outside of the tomb. And then as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. What Mary sees as she looks inside the tomb is the subject for this glorious Easter morning. For Mary Magdalene sees two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had laid, one at the head and one at the feet. And those angels speak to her, saying, "Woman, why are you weeping?" The angels are not saying this to comfort Mary, for they are truly perplexed at her weeping. For they know that Jesus is risen from the dead, just as he had promised. And they know that heaven was granting Mary Magdalene the very rare privilege to see what no man had seen before her, the real mercy seat of God. And you say, wait, I don't get that. What did Mary see? Mary saw the mercy seat of God. In the Old Testament, the mercy seat was that lid that rested on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And on each side of that lid on top of the ark, there was a carved angel overlaid in gold with the mercy seat in the middle. And each angel faced inward towards the mercy seat, sort of overshadowing the seat reverently with its wings. While the ark itself was made of acacia wood overlaid in gold, the mercy seat on top was made of pure gold. And yet, the mercy seat did not derive its worth from its gold, but from the fact that here was the place where Israel's sins were forgiven. At the mercy seat was where our merciful God could be found. On the day of the atonement, the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle the blood of a sacrificial lamb upon this mercy seat. God had commanded that such sacrifices be made. And by such a sacrificial system, God wanted to make it abundantly clear to Israel that our sins are so serious that there can be no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And so the life of a lamb was forfeited as an offering for human sin. The mercy seat was that place that God had specified for that sacrifice to take place. And each lamb whose blood was sprinkled on that seat foreshadowed the death of Christ. It pointed Old Testament believers forward in time to the cross. Now, these sacrifices were only necessary until that day when Christ would shed his blood once and for all. Up until then, however, God allowed this ritual of substituting animal life for human life as a temporary fix to atone for the sins of the people. Now, the mercy seat was housed in the holiest place of the temple, and only the high priest could enter that most sacred location in the interior of the temple, and only once a year. And it was there, hovering above the mercy seat, that God had promised to be present with his people. Above the mercy seat, God cloaked himself in a mysterious cloud that veiled his presence. And so the mercy seat became the location of God's grace. It was where God lived to forgive the sins of his Old Testament people. Over time, Israel forgot that the temple and the things inside the temple were only earthly copies, physical representations of heavenly things. For the real temple in heaven, where God lives, is not made by human hands. And this led to a great misunderstanding. For Jesus would teach the crowd, saying, "Destroy the temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days." His critics assumed this was some kind of threat, that Jesus intended to harm or desecrate the temple. But Jesus wasn't plotting a terrorist act against the temple in Jerusalem. He wasn't referring to this temple known as Herod's temple that was made of wood and stone, that was adorned in fine tapestries and trimmed in gold. No, Jesus was speaking of himself and of his own body when he said, "Destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days." For what was the temple but the place where God had promised to dwell with his people? And who is Jesus except God as he dwells among us in human flesh and form? And so when Jesus declares to his enemies, "Destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days," he is speaking of his own resurrection. For Jesus knew even before it happened that his enemies would destroy him, but that his Father would resurrect him in 3 days. Now, all of this helps us to understand what Mary saw when she stooped to look inside the tomb. Just look at the configuration of the two angels inside the tomb as they are described in John's gospel. We have one angel who is sitting at the head, and the other angel who is sitting at the feet where they had laid Jesus. Based on what I've told you, does this remind you of anything? Think about it. An angel on each end, and in between, in the middle, the spot where they had laid the lifeless corpse of Jesus. It's no coincidence that the angels were positioned in this way inside the tomb, for Mary was seeing the real mercy seat of God. For these were not carved representations of angels that Mary was seeing. These are real life angels at either end of where Jesus had been laid to rest on that Good Friday. And this was not an animal's life that had been sacrificed, but this was the Son of God who had been vicariously sacrificed to cover your sins, to cancel your sins, and then laid to rest in this location. And it was not the blood of any ordinary, unblemished lamb that had been offered to God, but it was the pure and precious blood of the Lamb of God who had been appointed from eternity to die in our place. And after his death by crucifixion, it had been God's blood that had soaked the seat in between the angels. On Good Friday, this cold slab of stone inside the tomb where they had laid the crucified body of Jesus had become a lonely and a fearful place of death. Indeed, it had become a place of great shame and sadness for those who had followed Jesus and had invested so much in him. They felt the disillusionment. They felt the disappointment of having placed so much trust in Jesus, and apparently all for nothing. For all of their hope and all of their conviction that Jesus was the Christ of God had died along with him. But now on Easter morning, this solemn area in between the two angels was about to take on a new and a greater gospel significance. This place inside the tomb was about to become the joyous location of God's grace. For with the resurrection of Jesus, the empty tomb becomes the location where death and devil are finally and forever defeated. In other words, it becomes the real mercy seat of God. The angels were there to testify that a real resurrection had occurred. And of course, your resurrection is predicated on his own powerful Easter resurrection. But my friends, his resurrection does more than simply prove that there is life after death. For even those who reject the gospel entirely, whose hearts are set on evil, will be bodily resurrected on the final day of judgment. Even those who don't believe in the resurrection will be resurrected, not to enjoy heaven, but to suffer endless torment in hell. My friends, that's why we believe that both cross and resurrection go together. For it is only through faith in the crucified and risen Christ that we have the promise of a resurrection that results in new life and peace with our God. For inside the Easter tomb, between those two living angels, we see the mercy seat of God. The empty tomb is proof of God's mercy. Proof that our sin debt had been paid in full. For if Jesus' sacrifice on the cross had not been enough to satisfy God, then Jesus would have remained dead and buried and under the curse of sin. But God released Jesus from the prison of death. Death no longer had any reason to hold Jesus. There were no longer any charges against him. Death had no claim on Jesus because God had accepted Christ's sacrifice as payment complete on our behalf. And so by our Lord rising to life again, God is announcing to you To everyone in this world and to everyone in this sanctuary, that there is a universal pardon. The resurrection is heaven's proclamation that the cross accomplished everything that God intended. And it verifies Jesus' claim that he is truly the way, the truth, and the life. The resurrection was God's way of saying that the payment of all human sin from the beginning of the world to its completion had been fully met in Christ. My friends, this is the Easter pardon that we proclaim to you. And this is the Easter pardon that you receive by faith. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting our transgressions against us. And so Christ's resurrection is a joyful proclamation and proof that God accepted Christ's life as the sacrifice for your sins. And so you see, the resurrection does more than assure us that there is just life after death. But our Lord's resurrection assures us that there is life in heaven with Christ and peace with God, now and forever. Unlike all the other lifeless sacrifices that previously were offered upon the mercy seat of God, Christ died, but now he lives again. He lives forever as a living mercy seat himself, as he reminds God the Father in heaven of the eternal pardon that he has won for you. For now the mercy seat is no longer found in any one place. It is found in a person. Now God's mercy is found in Jesus. My friends, we find this same Jesus resurrected and living among us today in the Word and in the sacrament. And where we find this living Jesus, we also find forgiveness and life and salvation. For my friends, the risen Lord truly is the mercy seat of God. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, bring joy to your hearts and the certainty of heaven. Amen.